You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back. I say it three times because this is our third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast.
John Sebastian on Welcome Back, Cotter.
Well, we've mentioned a few times since his most recent appearance the name of Paul Craig Roberts for various reasons. Former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, former Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal, former university professor at no less than six universities. He has a new column out entitled, Where is the White Privilege? And that's how we'll kick off this third and final hour. They tell us that it's Black History Month. And so let's do a bit on it very quickly. So here's what I'm going to do, Keith. I'm going to read not the whole piece. Now, you can read it for yourself at Paul Craig Roberts' website. We're going to repost it at TPC in a couple of days later this week. Title of the article is Where is the White Privilege? It's a pretty lengthy one. Every word is gold. You need to read it. But I'm going to read just a couple of excerpts, and then I'm going to give you the high sign. When I give you the high sign, you respond. But not until then. I want to read the whole thing first.
Be sure which finger it is you hold up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, so this is what Paul Craig Roberts writes. February is the month we celebrate Black history. Try celebrating white history. It would be declared an insurrection, and instantly the FBI would be on the screen rounding up white supremacists and domestic terrorists. White heritage has become characterized as racism, and racism is something we should be ashamed of, not celebrated. Universities and public schools have taught white students for years that they, their parents, and all of their forebears are racist to enslaved and oppressed Black people. Some cities and states in the U.S. have a reparations committee deciding on how much money to pay to people who have reparations committees deciding how much money people who have never owned a slave have to pay people who have never been a slave. Most of them don't even know who their parents are. After years of indoctrination by critical race theory, many white Americans accept that they are the guilty descendants of slave traders. The truth is that the Black slave trade originated in Black Africa and slave wars between Black people. Blacks enslaved Blacks. The British colonists were merely customers who needed a labor force. The Blacks brought to the colonies were enslaved prior to their arrival. The white slave trade is far older, was far more extensive, and was contemporaneous with the Black slave trade and lasted longer. But we don't hear arguments about white people being held back from being placed into bondage. But as Edward Snowden says, don't try to tell truth to people brainwashed by the Matrix. The notion of white privilege is one of the most absurd fantasies in human history, Paul Craig Roberts continues. For more than a half century, Black Americans have had in law, legal privileges that convey preferment over white people. Black Americans have privileged entry into universities, employment, and promotion. These privileges have expanded with time. University admission requirements for Blacks are lower than for white people. White liberal professors once complained that this was a privilege given to sons of alumni, but they don't mind the privilege being given to Blacks. Blacks have acquired certain protections in law that are denied to white people. For instance, Blacks can be victims of hate speech and hate crimes, but they can't be accused of committing the same. White employees of corporations, government, schools, universities, hospitals, and military have to take sensitivity training to show proper deference to Blacks, as the lower orders in Europe were trained to show towards the aristocracy. Some jurisdictions permit Blacks to steal amounts up to $950 without it being a felony. There's an ever-widening range of activities illegal for white people, such as looting and burning businesses and cities, for which Blacks are released from accountability. The privileges that Blacks enjoy are a total violation of law and the United States Constitution. Now, that was just the opening salvo of Paul Craig Roberts' tribute to Black History Month. Keith?
Well, he's right. That's exactly what's happened. Affirmative action has taken over and basically is pro-Black and anti-white. I am one of the people that got in on the first wave of victims of it, and it's affected my entire academic and employment history. You know, if I'd gone to Vanderbilt Law School rather than where I did, and Vanderbilt Law School was the, you know, the gold, the silver tuna, as they said on one of these TV shows, it's where you went if you wanted to have preferment in Memphis to work for a white shoe law firm or something like that. No telling what I would be doing. I might be in a corner office with one of those little paddles, you know, that has a rubber band and a
God
ball
wanted
on it
you
there.
Right where you are, right yeah. here to help the folk.
Well, that's right. I'm glad. And quite frankly, I doubt whether I'd have gone down this road if I had not had to deal with the injustice of affirmative action. But see, the thing about Black History Month that is so incredible, they talk about cultural appropriation. And they accuse white people of culturally appropriating their dances, their music, things like this. Think of, you know, those are drops of water in the bucket. Look at everything that makes America a first world nation. When non-white people use them, they are guilty of cultural appropriation. I'm tired of saying...
What about when non-whites culturally appropriate our inventions and technologies and things like that?
Well, that's never to be mentioned, okay? And if you do, that just shows that you're a racist. They go back to the ad hominem argument.
Which, as you say, that this is what critical theory or critical race theory is. The theory is to criticize constantly and without cessation.
Well, see, cultural Marxism has three basic principles. They've got the long march through the institution, critical theory, and the therapeutic state. Now, critical race theory is just a subpart of critical theory, okay? What is the theory? The theory is relentless criticism. But think about what the blacks try to claim for themselves that is obviously not something that was invented by a black man, for example, all of those things. In fact, even the things that they love to take for granted as being the product of black effort and ingenuity, like the civil rights movement. Blacks didn't create the civil rights movement. Jews did, okay? Let's just be honest. Let's take a look at who did what, where the money came from. Can you imagine the civil rights movement happening if it had not been backed by Jewish intelligence, Jewish networking, Jewish media control, and Jewish money? So they don't even control the things they, you know, have without question been allowed to claim for themselves. Like I was hearing something this morning about some guy that may have kicked off the civil rights movement. No black man kicked off the civil rights movement. It was kicked off by Jewish power and influence. And it's time for us to make that argument. You know, there are a lot of people in our ranks who are kind of gun-shy about two things. One is the civil rights movement. The other thing is mentioning Jewish power and influence. But you have to mention Jewish power and influence, particularly if you're going to have a radio show that claims to be pro-Southern. Why? Why are pro-Southern? Why are Southerners in particular need of learning about Jewish power and influence? It's because more whites in the South are black wives and more are not Jew wives. We need to increase their IQ on Jews in order to get them up to where we need to be so that we can really mount a competent offensive against the people that are trying to beat us down and to basically steal our society.
We'll be right
from
back.
Under
Stay
us.
Tuned.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com. Okay, so here's the thing. I am proud of my people, of our history, of our accomplishments, of our goodness. And I think everybody else should be as well. And that's something that has been denied us. I have no problems with blacks or whomever, whatever people group, celebrating their history. But this constant barrage of, like, I hear an advertisement, this company in the email, spam email I've gotten, celebrating black excellence all day, every day. Well, what does that have to do with this store? Nothing. And the whole thing is
ass kissing.
A little bit
over
the top. Okay, it's over the top is what it is, because there's just not a lot of there. I made a comment before a break a few weeks ago. I was talking about the Roman conquest of the Germanic tribes with Caesar versus one of the German chieftains. And I said, you know, I am both of these people. This is both part of white history. I am Caesar. I am Mozart. We are Shakespeare. We are Cortez and Columbus and Von Braun and Crockett and Lee and Leonidas and Edison and Ford and Disney. I mean, this is our people. Throughout the various nations from whence we came. And if you look at what they call black history, I mean, basically every one of the black heroes was born or came of age in the 1960s. I mean, their heroes are Parks and King, as you mentioned, are just front men. They didn't even do what they
were Jews.
And the whole thing is, I mean, what are their greatest accomplishments? What did they invent? What did they explore? What did they discover? What did they build? The answer is
they ran a scam. Basically.
Very, very little. I mean, they sat at lunch counters. I actually saw this at a thing. It was like gilded high top chairs that the so and so four or the so and so six. They went into this diner and they wouldn't leave. And this is just,
what did they do? They basically did what their Jewish masters told them to do in order to promote the civil rights.
All right, well, that's beside.
See, they didn't dream this up.
Okay, but
they didn't come up with any great inventions, and they did not come up with a movement all by themselves.
And that's the thing. Whatever they have to be proud of, let them be proud of it. But to say, I mean, it's gotten so ridiculous now, black history, excellence. I don't see it. I look around and I just don't see it. They say, well, now they're saying that they built America. Well, if they built America, why couldn't they ever build Africa? They said, well, they got colonized. Well, why weren't they more advanced before then? And of course, colonization never penetrated into interior Africa. But anyway, why weren't
they
built up before then?
Pyramids, for
they didn't do. Well, we know that that's not true either. But if they, but that's like saying, you know, what was the thing you said before the show? They built America because our guy said, "Hey, hand me a screwdriver."
Yeah, right.
But you know, tractors didn't build America, and ox didn't build America, and slaves didn't build America either. They did do some labor, and I'm not diminishing any of that. I'm just saying it's just not true. It's not true.
They're trying to somehow create cultural pessimism. That's one of the hallmarks of cultural Marxism in the white population. They're not trying to get their due. They're not trying to fit in or assimilate. In fact, they're trying to do just the opposite. They want to take over and grind their heel into our face.
So Here's another thing. Again, aside from protests and sit-ins and all of that stuff, I mean, where's the historical accomplishment? What did you find when you made it to Africa? What do you see there now? I mean, where are the great cultural charge
of the Light Brigade sitting in a diner and refusing rudely not to leave when asked?
I would bring up the different technological advancements and genius that white humanity has given for all of mankind to enjoy, but it'd be to list just about everything you could imagine. Just about everything you could imagine. So we're not going to do that. But you look at these. Mark Collett has put a compilation of videos up of blacks just randomly. I mean, and these are a dime a dozen. I mean, you see it every day. Just randomly beating white people. Just going up and cold cocking them, whether it's white students in school, white elderly whites in nursing homes. Just going up there and doing that. And this is the legacy, I think, much more than what they claim. That violence. Crime. Washington, D.C. is not even punishing people driving around with fake license plates anymore. They've announced that as sort of like a program because it's a wholly black enterprise.
And anything that black people are prone to do gets a pass from the government, doesn't matter how socially corrosive or criminally destructive it is. What's happened to America is that we have basically allowed, the top to be the bottom and the bottom to be the top. We're trying to do this, and it's not going to work. It has caused us to have a dysfunctional America. I grew up in the 50s. I knew how functional America used to be before the Civil Rights Movement. I can see the decline in America, decline in public education, decline in public civility, decline in enforcement of the law. All of these things are not the fault of white people, except to the fact that they're bowing down to the pressure of Jewish power and influence to treat blacks like their sacred cows.
And here's another one. You may have seen, this is a pretty viral video. We reposted it at James Edwards TPC on Twitter. You have this well-dressed, slightly older than middle-aged white man who's having a nice dinner with either his wife or girlfriend on an outside patio. A group of blacks come up to him and they accost him. They eat his food, they drink his water, or drink his drink, and then they start taunting him, and he gets up and he stares them down and he doesn't back down, and he calls them thugs, and then they start, you know, like you see in some forms of wildlife, they start bowing up and shucking and jiving and trying to provoke him into an attack. And they said, "What are you, a racist? You're calling us thugs?" After they had behaved in a thuggish manner, he said, "Well, maybe I am." They said, "Are you a racist?" He said, "Maybe I am." And they say, "Don't call us thugs. Don't call us thugs. Oh, yeah. What if we beat y'all ass right now? Call us," and they say the word, "call us the N-word. Call us the N-word. Call us the N-word. Call us the N-word. What if we beat your ass right now?" This is what they're doing. And if he had done that, if he had taken the bait and called them that, they would have probably killed him and then walked, because I can see it in a court, in an American court right now.
He's justifying killing a white person that calls you the N-word.
Even though they were taunting him, they went up, completely started it. They were videotaping him. I would like to play it, but there's so much. They use typical black street language. There's so many profanities in the clip. You can watch it. I thought about playing it on the show, but there's so much profanity in it. I'm just not going to do it on a family show. But that was a man who didn't back down. Somebody said his girlfriend must have had a wheelbarrow to carry around his cojones after standing up like that. But that's black history. I mean, that's the black history I've known and loved. Let me just ask
you about this. Why would any white man feel ashamed or reluctant to confront those people and tell them exactly what they are, to call a spade a dirty shovel?
Well, listen to this. If you fly into London on Air China, somebody sent me this picture. It's unbelievable. It's in Chinese language, and then underneath it is the English translation. Some nations aren't cowed by the truth, like China. China has this safety warning, or at least they did. I don't know if they still do or if it's something that they once did, but it reads, "London is generally a safe place to travel. However, precautions are needed when entering areas mainly populated by Indians, Pakistanis, and black people. We advise tourists to not go out alone at night, and females always to be accompanied by another person when traveling. And then it goes on to say Visa and MasterCards are accepted for shopping, accommodation, so on and so forth. So I
see, this is the new reality. This is the new normal in London, in America, in Memphis, wherever you want to go, New York City, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Des Moines, Iowa. Basically, you're no longer safe to walk the streets of a normal American city.
That is majority minority.
And furthermore, you can't even defend yourself without risking being put in jail for the rest of your life. It's time for white people to realize that we live in a dysfunctional society, a dystopia. And it's something that has been brought about by liberals, and the main driving force behind liberalism are Jews, okay? That's what we need to understand. For example, we're talking about reparations. I say bring them on. They had a great article in Occidental Observer this past week about a book written by the Nation of Islam called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews.
That's an old one.
Yeah, it's been since 1991, but they did research, and they said it is impeccably researched and right, and furthermore, all of their sources are Jewish sources. So it's very hard for Jewish power and influence to try to disclaim it. So if they're going to have reparations, that's great. The Jews are over there. They're the ones that owe it to you, not the white Gentiles.
All right. Well, happy Black History Month, everybody. We'll enjoy the wonders of diversity in Martin Luther King's wonderland that we call America. We'll be back with Jack Ryan for the last 2 seconds. Thank you.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Richard Johnson. The air is just fine. That's the word from Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and EPA Administrator Michael Regan on the situation around East Palestine, Ohio. But as for the water,
if you haven't had your water tested, please reach out to the state and remain on bottled water until you do so.
Regan is urging residents near the scene of that huge train crash and the ensuing release of deadly chemicals into the air and the ground to trust the science. The pleas are not guilty from all of the former Memphis police officers charged in the death of Tyree Nichols. All five face second-degree murder and other charges. They'll next be in court May 1st. The top Defense Department official when it comes to China is visiting Taiwan, the first such visit in nearly 4 years. It comes in the wake of the diplomatic strife over that Chinese spy balloon that floated over the USA. Vice President Kamala Harris tells NBC, in the broader context,
we will maintain the perspective that we have in terms of what should be the relationship between China and the United States. That is not going to change, but surely and certainly that balloon was not helpful, which is why we shot it down.
Harris is leading the U.S. delegation to the Munich Security Conference. Also there, New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who says the U.S. will not abandon Ukraine. He says, we've invested a lot in helping Ukraine defend itself against Russia, but the work isn't done. The group called the Conference Board is predicting the USA will slip into recession this year. Its chief economist blames the combination of high inflation, rising interest rates, and all of us spending less. Also, new data from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows all the money that all of us in the USA owe hit a record $16.9 trillion in the fourth quarter, and American credit card balances are at record levels. This is USA News.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy payroll customer.
Patriot Software has saved our business by allowing me to focus on other aspects of the business rather than spending so much time on multiple platforms to do the things entailed on running a business. I found Patriot by complete accident, and I don't regret it. It is continuing to save our company, and I'm extremely excited to see what else it entails.
Easy to learn, easy to use, small business software tailored just for you.
Visit us at patriotsoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Trustmakers, that's what we are, I think. That's what Jack Ryan is. And Jack, I can't believe this is our first time to talk to you, calendar year 2023. Regular contributor he is, and it doesn't seem like it's already, we're already a month and a half into this year. As I said before, just a couple of weeks shy of March around the world. And Jack, hello, buddy. How's the new year been treating you so far? A couple of days removed from Valentine's Day.
I'm still alive. And as they say, there's two types of people getting older and not getting older. People are not getting older or dead, so I'm pretty happy I'm getting older, and that's good. Winter outside of Chicago, it's actually not a bad time if there's no wind. I like it. March, the worst month of Metro Chicago, is coming up, so I'm not going to be real happy about that. But, yeah, it's a good time being in the Midwest. You can always put on more clothes, better clothes, but
that's interesting you say that, Jack. In other words, you're telling us that February is not the coldest month of the year in Chicago, but March is.
March is not the coldest, but someone in my family said that March in Chicago is where people don't drink and know what a bad hangover is like. It's wet, raw. It's like Scotland. There's plastic bags in the trees. Everything. When Chicago is under a nice blanket of snow, it looks winter in Wonderland, but when the snow is melting, you find out that people didn't pick up after their dogs, and then you get one or two nice days, and then the teachers and little kids are skipping around. It's spring, and then the temperature could drop 30 degrees. You get caught on an L platform just in jeans, you'll freeze your behind out. We've had times where the opening of baseball in the first week of April has gotten snowed, so we don't really have
it can even snow down here in March, no problem. But it's definitely been a mild winter. We had that one, we got the down to zero for a few days.
I went up to Chicago on spring break with my kids and my wife one time, and it was so damn cold out on that Navy Pier that we had to stop into some store and get all of this winter gear, you know, like those kind of Clyde Turbo hats with the earmuffs and everything.
Well, it just sort of, you got to just know how to handle it, and the Southerners are proud, great fighters, but I got to say, when I was at Vanderbilt, those Southern boys were terrible snowball fighters. I mean, you get one snow a year, and I'm lobbing at each other like 20 feet away, and I throw one high up in the air, and then they look to follow it, and then I give them a line drive right in the face, and it's we got the advantage.
That's why we got to have Jack in the snowball war. We got to recruit from Chicago.
Yeah,
that's right.
Finally found a use for Jack.
Anyway, hey, well, listen, Jack, we're glad that you're alive and well, and been missing you the last few weeks, but you've been busy, we've been busy, and everybody's been busy, but it's great to have you tonight, and what do you got for us? I know we're going to get back into some of your movie and music and book recommendations
By the way, let me say this about that music you just played. You know what that tune is from?
No.
1971, Middle of the Road, Where's Your Mama Gone, Little Baby John? And they put that tune to a new set of lyrics.
Well, it was 70s. I like it. I know that James likes the doo-wop. I like 70s R&B with a little disco. I like the dance, and I think it doesn't have bad politics in it. And I just feel our country would be so much better if American men and women would start dancing and being nice to each other again. So that's the kind of music, dance music, I like.
What do we want to go into the other recommendations? We want to get into the topic. Your dime, your dance floor, Jack, pun intended.
Right. Okay. So I want to go back to recommending a book or an article every week, and then a movie review. Well, the music comes in. So this week, I'm recommending the American Renaissance article that was over 20 years ago, which said, "Don't write off the liberals." The pen name was Melody Jellaby. I think that is a Charles Dickens pen name, but it's a great article, and it just mentions that the problems that we have in our country are really not conservatives against liberals, that is that is a lie, and it's been taught and pushed by system conservatives, Rush Limbaugh and William F. Buckley forever. Our divides are between different people, different ethnic, racial, and sexual groups. And a lot of these things that you just knee-jerk go conservative, it's just really not right. It's not there. I mean, people in the South or Midwest, they want to be patriotic. They want to support the troops. But we really haven't had any war that benefited our country and our people since the Mexican War, the war against the Western Indians. So all these wars, these neoconservative wars, World War One to make the world safe for democracy, Vietnam, or all these neocon J wars in Iraq.
Why do we have those wars, Jack?
Yeah, you know, they just, it's not. So basically our people in the military, we were reduced to being Janissary warriors, and the Janissaries were the elite warriors of the Turkish Ottoman Empire. But they were also slaves, white European slaves that were fighting for the Turkish Muslim Sultan. So our people now, we're not fighting for our people in these wars, particularly not against Russia. I mean, why do we, Russia's thrown off communism. Leningrad is now St. Petersburg again. They have sensible rules about porn, homosexuality. Why in God's name do we want to be spending trillions of dollars to fight our kinsmen, the Russians, in Crimea and Ukraine? And it's just, there's less Southerners and Midwesterners, Republicans going along with it. But a lot of people think that, well, serving in the military, it's even if you are a Janissary slave, it's better than being a greeter at Walmart or something like that. So that's kind of the situation. So this article, don't write off the liberals. I want most of our listeners to just do a quick DuckDuckGo search. Don't write off the liberals, and just see how perspectives from left and right are not. It's what's best for our people, and lots of things are good for. We want to be environmentalists. We want a clean environment. And so these people that just ran these chlorine through rural Ohio would have exploded and destroyed the environment. Do we, you know, is that a good thing? No, of course not. Or anything goes guns. Do we really want to bring in the entire population of Somalia and let everybody have military guns? I mean, I don't. So all kinds of controls I'm for. Immigration control, birth control for the underclass, controls against child labor and just culture. We used to have good rules against pornography up until 1970, but then it went. So I like that article. Don't write off the liberals.
Well, let me ask you this, Jack. If these wars have not benefited Americans, and I agree with you, they haven't, who is responsible for them and who do they benefit?
I mean, we all know. It's the 20th time tonight. We know who's Jack knows, and you know, and I know, and everybody knows.
It's two things. It's the military-industrial complex, the Cheneys and the like, that just wars are good for their armaments industry, and there's this
bottom
other
line.
People that you're not allowed to mention. It starts with J, ends with W, and rhymes with Jew. So that these people are always, they're usually attacking some European nationalists, like Russian nationalists, Serb nationalists, German nationalists, or else just neighbors of Israel. So that they, and they always promote the wars, but they don't actually fight in them. So that, and it even goes back like that, this, I'm pretty sure, maybe one of you knows the answer to this, this horrible congressman from California, Schiff, Adam Schiff, is he the grandson of the terrible financier Jacob Schiff? That funded the Bolshevik takeover. Russia also.
I wondered that myself, Jack. I don't know, but that, you know, sure,
it's a famous name,
isn't it?
And they do the same thing. You know, they do the same activities. So these wars, and then I'm just so upset that the Ukrainians of all people allow themselves to get suckered into this. They have a vulgar J comedian as a president, Zelensky, and that guy's just taking the money and citing another brother war between so similar people, the Ukrainians and the Russians. Before communism, that society, they were one. And nobody got butchered worse by J-Bolshevism, communism, and Ukrainians. And the fact that they allowed this guy to be a leader, it's amazing that they go along with it. But the people, if they control the media and they control the fiat currency, they print money. I think there was an advertisement came on that the national debt is $17 trillion. I heard it was $32 trillion. But if you got that money power, you can do all kinds of things. And so it's bad things that happen. But it's important to go forward and to not give up, despair. And we need to promote good books and good movies. So that comes to my movie that I want to recommend. Can I do that now?
Absolutely.
Okay. The movie I have is a 1973 film of Tom Sawyer. And the lead is an actor, Johnny Whitaker. He was on a TV show. It's popular. I didn't think it was very good. Family Affair. He had big red hair. But the really interesting character in it was a young Jodie Foster, who's playing Becky. And it's just a completely traditional presentation of Huck Finn. Well, who's the writer for Mark Twain?
Mark Twain.
Sawyer. There's no modern politics in it. All the women are traditional. Becky wears a dress. It doesn't have the racial issues that Huck Finn does, which because there's a slave that's trying to run away, Jim. So it's just the story of a small town, and the girls are girls. They wear dresses, and Tom and Huck Finn are their regular boys, and it's great. Now, it's a musical. I look at it as following the success of the Broadway play and movie Oliver Twist. I don't think the music is particularly memorable in this one, but it's just a very good movie. So I would highly recommend this movie. The actors and actresses, the child actors, had some problems growing up. Jodie Foster became a lesbian, and the Whitaker guy had some drug issues. But it's just a fantastic movie, and I highly recommend it.
Hold on, Hollywood, right, what would you expect?
We will be right back. Keith will talk about some of his favorite VHS movies.
In Message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Okay, welcome back. I tell you what, the little time off did Jack well. That was one of my most enjoyable segments that I always enjoy Jack. But I was just sitting back listening to that and really enjoying it as a listener. Jack, fantastic job that first segment. I know you were wrapping up with the movie recommendation. You can go back to that and conclude any thoughts that you had that you didn't get to. I went to Keith's house around Christmas time, and he had his staple tower of old VHS movies that stretches from his floor to ceiling,
wall to wall of a collection of VHSs.
Well, I'm sure that there's lots
and have
of
a movie
great
marathon,
right? Yeah. Well, I'm sure he has lots of great movies, and just because the time period is better, I just think the technology of the VHS is not as good as the DVD. It doesn't age as well. And if you got a
but the stories age well, and the stories today do not age well.
No, they do. I got this really worst thing I ever did in my life is I got this expensive MBA degree from the number one MBA program in America. Terrible, terrible time and stuff. But they have some theories that you first want to get market share and then get profit. So you can almost give it away for free. And this does things like Chinese getting market share of all these industries. But back in the day, the Sony Betamax technology was better technology than the VHS. you go to a video store and there'd be thousands of VHS and there'd be just like 10 Betamaxes. So VHS got the market, and eventually they, the technology of the DVD took over. You looked at that with DOS, Microsoft versus Apple. And the DOS is a computer. You got to do these backslashes and all these things. But they were the market share of IBM. And then the Apple had bad marketing. They only wanted to market to artists and counterculture people. Eventually, Microsoft got Windows, which was competitive with Apple. So that's something that happens. And we have to do business. We got to get market share and some things like that. But the movies are just better from the 30s. I don't think the 60s was a very good time for movies. TV was pushing out. But 70s, a lot of really good movies. Now, I went the first year, I did not watch a single Hollywood movie.
Right.
Disney, Disney, Marvel, they were running off the talent of Jack Kirby, the Marvel Comics guy. And I think Jack Kirby is just, he's a genius. He's also a good American. Yeah, he's Jay, New York Jay, but he didn't hate America. He created great comics, but they ran out of original Jack Kirby. So what can Hollywood do after that? They have to politicize it. They got to make Thor's girlfriend, Jane Foster, into a feminist Thor and have Black Valkyrie. Then they have to politicize it.
The problem with Hollywood is not beta max, it's beta males.
Yeah. Beta males, and boy, everything just bombed. That Amazon spent $2 billion to get the rights for the Lord of the Rings, but they don't have a story. They've done all the Tolkien, Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. They just have some appendices, notes, and so they politicized it. They made Galadriel into this kick-ass feminist one and brought in black hobbits. The fan base hates it. It's just not a good story.
I don't care what format that's in. I don't want that movie in my house.
The orcs are white now, too, by the way.
Yeah, they got She-Hulk or something that they've had, and then the Academy Awards, very political. But they tried. I mean, I like black culture. Like I mentioned, the music that I'm promoting is great black American culture. There's been some good black American movies. I recommend the version Carmen Jones, which is about the opera, French Spanish opera, about the bullfighter Carmen. And they made a version in the late 40s or maybe it was 50s with Harry Belafonte. And it was about a black heavyweight boxer. But the music is straight from the Carmen. It's a tremendous movie. It's tremendous. But now the pressure is on.
That one with Dorothy Dandridge?
Yeah. Good looking gal. And Harry Belafonte, he does bad politics in his life, but he just is a great actor, a great singer. And it's tremendous. And there just aren't any good stories in Hollywood. I think everything's political. And this is another thing that I've noticed, this technological change. People don't go to see movies in a movie theater anymore. Everybody has a home theater and they stream it. And so it's all technology. It's like a video game instead of a movie with a plot or characters people care about. And I just think that Hollywood's dead. And it's, I mean, a lot of it is.
Well, that's just playing into the hands of the Chinese who, will copy everything and pay no royalties and whatnot. It's like,
okay, that's another subject that we get into. But I think at the time when the owners of the media are just this horrible, evil alien people like Bob Iger, and they're stopping production sales of traditional Disney like Song of the South. I think Dumbo's come out. So I'm an idea is like, I don't want to give the royalties for classic Disney to Bob Iger so they can use it to do homosexual grooming at theme parks in Florida.
That's why I have all these VHSs.
Yeah. Well, you have it. But the other thing that you can do is in bad times when the government's corrupt and stuff, why not be a pirate a little bit?
Like today.
We'd still be a British colony if we obeyed every law, right? Jesus Christ got arrested. Well, I don't complain. these guys, I've never been arrested. I've never, everything. I've never.
That shows you're a beta male, right?
It just shows, it shows you're a punk, man. So but it's important to keep tradition. And these people that are objecting quite so to having dirty homo books put in children's libraries. Yeah, but my thing is we should promote good books. The best answer to bad books is promoting good books. So the classics, Aesop, Fables are still there. Charles Dickens is there. He's a little bit too long, but Mark Twain is fantastic. And Mark Twain has got some censored views about certain things. You didn't hear it. But if you go to Colchester Collection, Annie Zion, and you see what Mark Twain said about the carpetbaggers that came by and money. It's amazing observation, but they censored it because his daughter wanted it. It would hurt his reputation, which it would have. So I think just we need to have book clubs for our children, movie clubs, and just cut off your cable, cut off Netflix. I got Amazon Prime for older movies, but just, you know, cut that cable, get antenna TV. We live in an occupied country. The media is not. We don't. Last Southern Gentile to own any media company was Ted Turner, and he's been long gone. You know, that's just the way it is.
You made the mistake of linking up with Jane Fonda.
Well, he thought because he gave big money to the UN, the Clintons, and he married Hanoi Jane Fonda, and he thought he would be accepted into the Southern California media world. But it's like making it into organized crime. You got to be part of a certain ethnic group to be top in, to get accepted in the Hollywood, and he wasn't. And so it doesn't matter how politically liberal leftist he was about the UN, that he was not part of the tribe, and they did not.
He's not the first one that learned that. Lyndon Baines Johnson learned the same lesson in the 60s.
Yeah,
he thought if he acted like John F. Kennedy, he would be treated like John F. Kennedy, but he wasn't.
Right. Yeah, he's a trucker.
He's lucky before that.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Lucky he didn't get the end that John F. Kennedy got.
No, but he's not my. I mean, he's probably the most destruction happened under Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely.
But but he's not my least favorite because I didn't really have a lot of. I'm a little kid, but I didn't have a lot of expectations. My least favorite presidents are the Bush one and Bush two, because you think they're conservatives and they're Texans or something like that, and they. They're the guys that push through these neoconservative.
They're a bunch of new down east Yankees from Sissy Bunkport, Maine.
Sissies are just, I think Bush Jr., he looks and acts just like a twin of the character Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies TV show. Because Uncle Jed was always trying to get a job for Jethro.
No, don't slander
do
Jethro like
Bush.
That.
And then Bush Jr., he went to Yale and he was a male cheerleader, or just a drunk frat guy, and they tried to get him a job, and they couldn't get him a job, so they made him jobless, governor of Texas and two-time president of the United States.
By comparing Jethro to Jeb Bush, I mean to George W. Bush, you've created a great slander to Jethro.
Well, actually, the character, I like the character Jethro, and I like the Beverly Hillbillies, but he was typecast as that character, and then he was real defensive about it for the rest of his life. He became a producer, and he produced some decent movies that were good. I think he has got good characters. I think he was the son of that half J boxer, Max Baer.
Was
the son of that guy. Yeah, yeah. And he, but he produced some good movies. Something the Billy Joel jumped off the Tallahassee Bridge. He produced that independent movie, and I think that he ended up being kind of the same guy. But your typecast. If that your main acting thing was being Jethro, but I don't know, maybe he could have been. I think he would have done a better job. The actual Jethro character could have done as well as George W. Bush. You know, what a stupid country we have, isn't it? I mean, that's why I just want to leave.
We have a president that is a punchline,
isn't it? And it's just amazing that our country has even survived as well as it is with the terrible leadership. And now we don't have a single heterosexual Protestant Christian in the entire Biden administration. Our president is senile. He's walking around and $1 trillion in debt. But somehow the system kind of goes on, and you just sort of have to try your best to stay sane. One thing I do, I'm supporting some young mothers in the United States and one in the Western Cape in Africa. And just you see beautiful moms. And they've got really healthy children. They don't have the time for stupid politics or things like that. So if anyone wants to write me and I can tell them how to do that, the exchange rate for the dollar to the rand is excellent. For $150, you can pay for a whole month of school, private school, for some Dutch African family. And so in these terrible times, we got to go. But the other thing is, like, let's promote good books, good music, and you'll pull all your hair out. If you just get all upset about the bad movies and the bad music, but James and I don't have a lot of hair to pull out, do we? So we have to go out.
We got to save it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Jack, I got to tell you, by the way, I like how you spend your money, too. I see these late night commercials, you know, for a certain amount of cents per day, you can save a starving dog or something. I'd rather benefit the people that you're benefiting. And I got to say, my friend, I mean, for the many years you've been on the show as a contributor, I think this might have been your best appearance yet. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Did you hear me talking in the last couple of segments? I was sitting back taking it all in. I really enjoyed what you contributed tonight.
Well, thank you.
We'll
so
talk
much.
To you again, hopefully next week. And for all of our guests tonight, or both of them, Brad Griffin and Jose Nino, for Keith Alexander, our entire staff and crew, I'm James Edwards. Good night. God bless you. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.